Somar Beat.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chewing In Podcast. Unfortunately, the ugly looking 6'7" person is not here with me. Thank God. This is no longer called the Chewing In Podcast.
Oh, here we go.
When I'm here, it's called the Q and Ooh.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, it's the Q and Ooh and Q Podcast.
Whatever.
Guys, that's Quez with me today, standing in, pinch hitting for the ugly looking thing that's at home probably crying in the mud somewhere because he's flooded in. But oh well, it is what it is. Lucky for him, he's tall enough to breathe above water. But anyways, guys, I know you guys have been itching for today's episode. I'm trying to think of the best way to introduce this gentleman.
I'm excited because this is part of my childhood.
It is part of his childhood.
Part of my childhood.
High school years, man. But it was awesome when this great animation came on, the X-Men. We talked to him beforehand. I said, you are the man of 1,000 voices. He said, well, I had to change that. I'm the man of 100,000 voices now. So I'm like, holy moly. And trust me, guys, when I say 100,000 voices, it is the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, please help us welcome Mr. Tony Daniels.
Oh, no, the curtain. Hang on.
Boom,
there it is. I had a curtain on my camera. It's just a little thing for cleaning my glasses. I was cleaning off the camera.
That was awesome. That was awesome, man.
Hello. Hey, fellas, how are you?
You kind of gave us a scare there for a minute, but I think we're good.
I was trying to quiz you.
That's a good one.
Oh, boy.
Oh my gosh. Mr. Tony Daniels on the Chewing In Podcast. God, first of all, I want to say thank you for coming on with us here.
Well, you can blame Becky for that one.
A big thank you to Miss Becky for reaching out to us. We reached out. Thank you, Becky, if you're watching. Thank you. You made a young man's dream come true.
Yes. My childhood dream come true.
But,
by the way, they weren't gang size, just in case the people.
No. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Yo, it's gang signing. Never mind. I watched too many movies as a kid, man.
That's good, though. That's good.
Never mind. I used to work with this old man, and he comes in. He's like, this was back in Canada, and he's an old guy, and he goes, hey, I was watching that movie Coloreds last night. I go,
what? Uh-oh.
What? I go, what are you talking about? Coloreds. I said, Colors. He goes, no, I saw Colors. It. I know what it was about. I go, what was it about, Ralphie? He goes, colored people. I go, what are you, an idiot? I was like, you're a moron, Ralphie.
Ladies and gentlemen,
oh my God,
the way we like to start our podcast off is getting to know Mr. Tony Daniels. Mr. Daniels, tell us, take us from the beginning, where you're from, where you grew up, and how you got inspired to be a voice actor. Take it away.
Well, I was out of sync one time. We'll talk about that one later. That got me on the DUI. But I was born in Toronto. My parents are from, well, my father was born in Malta, but he's a real mix of all kinds of backgrounds, including Black and Asian. And he kind of, like, when we did our 23andMe, we were like, oh, wow, this is really cool. My mother was born in Scotland, but she's actually Irish, and there's a bunch of Spanish and all kinds of stuff. So it's a real mix. Right. And that's probably the reason I could probably do every single accent you can think of pretty well. You name one, I'll get it down. Yeah, don't ask me to do South African. I don't feel like it right now. Every time it was great. So you know, we have such a mixed family, and it's great because you can rely on or reach into that stuff to bring into some certain characters and stuff, and it's great. I'm a little afraid of those cherries at the top of the thing. It's scaring the hell out of me because I don't know what that was.
He's afraid of cherries.
So I've got family in Michigan. I've got family around the world, but I have a lot of family in Michigan. So I'd spend a lot of time in Michigan, and that was really cool, you know. And then one of my best friends, if not one of the best friends, lives in Buffalo. My actual best buddy passed a year and a half ago.
Okay.
He was Tony Pastor Jr., the director on Spider-Man, you know, the animated and voice director. And I worked with him with Stan. That's how I got to know Stan.
Mm-hmm. I love your Stanley impression.
Yes, it's awesome.
It's wonderful. But Stan, Tony and I working with Stan, I went down to LA to stay for a while, and Stan wouldn't call me Tony because he already had a Tony Pastor. Right. So he called me Krog. You're going to be Krog. I go, oh, cool. Because Krog was one of the characters that he created that I did. Right. And it was a big blue monster rock thing. And Tony and I would stick marbles in my... And then Stan freaked out over it. It was really cool. Yeah, so, you know. So anyway, so my best buddy Michael lives in Buffalo, and so I spent a lot of time in Buffalo, worked in radio. I got my start as a musician.
Nice. I see that in the background. Yeah,
you see that white one there?
Yeah.
That was a gift from my buddy Rick Emmett. Remember Triumph? Lay it on the line. Remember them?
I think so.
You'll look them up at the show and go, oh damn, I know who they are. And I've got tons of guitars. So I started playing music when I was a kid, you know, 13, mm-hmm. 14 professionally. And it's really funny because Cal Dodd, who played Wolverine, when I was 16, I had just got my license and I was working at this cable station. I had a TV show called it was called Rap Line, and then because I had to adopt it from another friend of mine who was doing the show originally. It was a DJ show, basically. We played music. Right. But it was on stop frame. You could only see every other frame. And then eventually they got the rules. They were allowed to show full camera, you know, public access. Oh. And then, I went to see a friend of mine's father. He ran Epic Records. And I got these things called videos. He sounded like Stan, actually. But he goes, I got these things called videos. And he goes, there's only 9 voices in the world, just so you know. It's like, basically, you know, if you do Bugs Bunny, right, and then you slow him down and make him a little deeper, you got Johnny Carson.
So
there's only really 9 voices. But... Yeah, he gave me these videos, and I was the first guy, but long before there was a MTV or Much Music or any of those shows,
right,
or TV stations, I was able to play rock videos on television. So that's where I got my start. And then, but for the summers, I was making $4 an hour. But for the summer, the boss goes, hey, you want to make $12 an hour? And that was a lot of money in the
70s. Hell yeah.
Right? It's a lot of money for some people now. So I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And I had special installations. And one of the first guys I ever installed was Cal Dodd, who played Wolverine.
There you go.
Yeah. He was famous for a series at the time called Circus, where he was a host and a great singer, by the way. And he would get out there and sing, and it was really cool.
That's awesome, man.
I'm having tea because I was screaming and singing all weekend. I was with my last... Tuesday, we played a gig at 11th Street Bar in New York, and then we played on the weekend a 420 get together. Don't you guys think about it? Anyway, we were at this 420 thing yesterday, Saturday. That was in New Jersey, and then yesterday we were playing in New Hope, Pennsylvania. So I've been singing and playing all week, and then working on the other stuff too.
I hear you.
So it's been crazy. So my throat's a little fried. Anyway, so it's cool. But yeah, and that's how I started, you know, just music, and then music gravitated towards radio. And when I was in radio, I was like 14, 13. I can't remember. Wolfman Jack used to do this live show, right?
Yeah.
And Wolfman Jack was working out of L.A., but he'd come to Chicago, Toronto, New York, and he'd do every so often he'd come and do the show from there. Yeah. So he came to Toronto, and I was working as an intern at the station. And there was a guy there producing the show, and he's like, they brought Wolfman, and he was freaking hammered. He actually looks like Q. But anyway, he was hammered.
Yeah, I believe it.
Was hammered, and they go, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? So they go, let's get coffee into him. And so they were pouring coffee into him. And then they're going, man, we got to get, maybe we'll play some old stops. And I go, well, I could do his voice. And they were like, what?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So so for 3 stops, that's I got to go. Coming up after the break, we're gonna be playing some more, you know, whatever it was.
Oh my god.
And he'd tell you what to say, and I did it. And so in comes Wolfman, right? And he sits down, and I go to leave, and he goes, where are you going? I go, well, you're here. And he goes, No, you're my boy right now. You sit down. So I sat there, and I'm in awe. Here's freaking Wolfman Jack. Fast forward like 25, 30 years more, 40 years. Jesus, mm-hmm. Stop it, guys. Anyway, so I'm working on a show called Friends and Heroes, and our producer was a gentleman named Gary Kurtz, who happened to produce a couple little movies like Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back. And a little movie called American Graffiti. And I told him a story. Yeah. And he loved it, man. He's like, yeah, Wolfman was the best. But and he was cool. I go, hey, Gary, you know, I'm your second Tony Daniels. He goes, no, you're not. I go, what? You're my first. I go, what? But he goes, no. You're my first Tony Daniels. And I thought that was really cool. Yeah. But we lost him. A lot of people died in the last few years. Jesus.
Yes. Quite a few. I mean, even great animators themselves passed away, man. It was really heartbreaking when we got the news of a lot of these top animators that passed away, you know.
Yeah, and my friend Tom McLaughlin left us, and you know, you can look him up as a Hanna-Barbera guy, and just so many cool people. Sad. Oh my gosh. You know, we're getting older, and as you get older, you know, we live in a time where social media and connections are a lot more prevalent than when I was a kid. So right. I said to my parents, you know, when I get older, I'm going to see a lot of my friends and famous people that, you know, have passed into my life, pass away. And, you know, and one of my best friends in the world right now is, I can say that is Dominic Chianese, Uncle Junior from The Sopranos. And he's 93, man. He's And he's well, I got to meet Bill Shatner, which is incredible, you know, last year at Chicago. Mm-hmm. He was like, I've been dying to meet you. It's amazing. You know, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Freaking Bill Shatner, you know, like anyway. And he was like, I hear you do a ton of voices, and we're talking away. And he goes, you ever do my voice? I go, yeah, I've done it. But I said, you remember Celebrity Deathmatch on MTV? You guys remember that, right?
So I said,
if you look it up, you'll see I did a bunch, right? Including, so I said, yeah, I got to, I was supposed to do your voice, and then they couldn't find a good Patrick Stewart, so I could do a perfect Patrick Stewart. So I did Pat, and they got this other guy to do you. And he goes, oh, let me hear your Pat Stewart. So I go,
you know, when Bill Shatner and I did Generations, I was the better captain, but he was the far better actor, and he loved it.
That was really good. That was awesome.
Well, I got to tell you, it's nice to be with you fellows. You know, Jonathan Frakes was such a prick on the set.
I'm about to call Mr. Tony Daniels again, and just an audio today on the podcast.
Exactly. Hi, this is Patrick Stewart. Ooh, it's not available. Ooh, give me a call back. Ooh.
Oh my gosh. I mean, so many years doing the voice acting. I mean, can you share a memorable experience behind the scenes, the stories from your time as a voice actor? I mean, something that was memorable to you?
Oh boy, there's so many. Actually, one of my favorite things was, this was actually an on-camera gig. I was playing Big Fat Elvis in Erie. Look, I lost that phone. I was playing Big Fat Elvis in Erie, Indiana, The Other Dimension. I don't know. Remember that show? Yeah. Awesome. So I gained like 90 pounds. I'm not kidding you. Because when I showed up the first day, they're like, you don't fit in the costume anymore, because I'd lost weight for this other part. And they're going,
right.
And they go, we're shooting Monday. And I go, I'll gain some weight back by Monday. I gained 22 pounds in a weekend.
Holy moly.
That's crazy.
Golly. Dude, it's easy. Like 12 tacos a day. No, I was like carbo loading, because, you know, runners can gain a lot of weight and then they'll burn it off during a race.
Right.
Look, and there's Q sucking back on a, like a giant gulp thing.
I know, right? Look at that.
I don't want to show where it's from because we ain't sponsored by them.
No. Don't give them the freebies. But anyway.
Covering that up.
It's a Texas thing, man. It's a Texas thing. So, yeah. So. So yeah, you know, I just I guess I have too much fun. I should be careful. And then you guys have heard some of my other stuff that I've done. Like, I was voicing NASCAR for years and years, like tonight on NASCAR on Fox, you know, stuff like that. And speaking of you know, you guys are South Texas, basically, right?
Yep.
I worked for a friend of mine, Garth Franklin, at Access TV, which became our HDNet, which became Access TV, working for Mark Cuban. And do you remember this? You're watching HDNet fights with Kenny Rice and Boss Rutan. And for years, I was doing that show.
You got me on the Fox one.
NASCAR was fun. And those guys would be great because they're all South North Carolina. Be like, hey, Tony, can I get a line for tonight's show? You know, a couple of racers, they just pooped their pants. They ain't going to race tonight. You know?
It's pretty darn close.
Yeah.
That's close enough.
That's close enough. We'll take it. Oh my gosh. And I have people already commenting on here. Big shout out to Adam Collections. Guys, these guys suffered a little bit of a fire today, electrical fire, but everything came out all right. So nothing got damaged too bad. So ready to see those guys out there in Comic-Con this weekend. Awesome. And also a big shout out here, Vanessa M. Pettis says, I was excited to meet him at Comic-Con in McAllen. Got my Tony the Tiger plushie. Maybe next year, hopefully he should.
Vanessa, come to Lubbock. I'm sorry about McAllen. I really wanted to come, but I was telling the gents, I have a network gig right now, and it's been a long time, and it's a contract. Yeah. I can't fly during the day, and the only time from New York to get to McAllen is like 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and I'm in the studio till 3. So, yeah, wow, getting through security in New York, forget about it.
Right. Forget about it. What are you talking about? Pop a cap in your ass, and you'll be talking out the side of your face, Johnny.
What techniques or strategies do you use bringing up characters to life, like through your voice? Are there specific? Do you read into the character? How is it you come up with the voices?
I like to get body paint and paint my whole body.
That's the way you do it.
A lot of times,
do it right now. Hold on. Right
no, don't here. You dare. Flashing boobs and stuff. No, but no, I mean, a lot of times you'll get a script and you'll look at it, and there'll be a character breakdown. So, sometimes they'll give you a reference. You want it to sound like Woody Allen, and then I'm going to kill myself. But anyway, and then, you know, so there'll be something, you know, or they'll show you a picture and you go, hey, that looks a lot like, you know, Pacino. So,
right.
I'm going to give it like a little Pacino spin. So
you start out doing Al, right? Oh, come on. Ooh, what's going on here? Oh, you look like you look like you could take it. Yeah.
You know, that's
and he's really
surprised
cool.
Look every time. Like, what?
And I've actually done it for him, which is really cool. Yeah. I've done that for him. I did Sean Connery for Sean Connery.
Oh my God,
it was fabulous. And awesome. Pat Stewart for Pat Stewart, which we talked about earlier.
Right.
God, there's been a number. In fact, my friend Dorian Harewood, who's in The Notebook right now on Broadway, beautiful actor. He was in Full Metal Jacket. You guys remember that? You remember Alabama Black Snake? Anyway, and he's also the voice of Tonight on NBC, right?
That's Dorian's
beautiful voice, man. And we worked on a film together called Ferentina. It's the first time I met him. Never got released. And he goes, hey, man, I understand you. Hi, Stacey Blue. I understand you. You love, you know, you work in radio. And can you critique my new record? And I go, well, you know, I produce a lot of records, so I'm going to be pretty brutal. Anyway, thank you all.
Here we go.
Well, I don't know if I can legally, but we'll talk about it anyway.
just a little. Don't give them too much.
We're not allowed to do the catchphrase. I'd be in trouble. We can't do the catchphrase. But so Dorian, that's right, mon ami. Anyway, so Dorian. Dorian was so cool. So he's like, it was funny. We found out we lived like really close to each other. So I came over and I took his album and I reworked a lot of the parts. And he's like, dude. And that was it. We started touring together. We played music together and we did a couple of shows together. So it was really cool. We worked on Rescue Heroes and.
Oh, wow.
I played Helicopter on there. It was great because when I went down to NASCAR, my boss at the time goes, hey, my kid's been watching some show and I'm watching him. I go, oh, it's Rescue Heroes. He goes, oh, you know that? I go, Well, I'm Hal E. Copter. And he goes, no, can you do it for the kid? And I go, so yeah. So the kid comes over and I do, hi, it's Hal E. Copter. And I'm ready, willing, and able. And the kid was like,
ah. Just like me.
Man. Yeah.
He was about to jump off a seat right now, telling him to split right now.
Thank you. No. Tony Gordon, I was like, ah. No, and I have so much fun with it because I love it, you know, because I've been blessed enough. I play X the Owl in Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. So little kids,
oh my,
you know,
gosh.
Yeah, it really hits home for me. I've been, you know, Babar and, oh gosh, a ton I of kids. I saw
that, Babar. Man, yeah. That's awesome.
Y'all have kids?
Yes, I have, okay. My son.
Yeah, so there's a show was on for a while. It came out of Canada. It was called Stella and Sam, and I played Fred the dog. And these people were fantastic because mm-hmm. they hired me to play a real dog. So I didn't, they weren't going to use sound effects, but I ran lines with my own dog. He's like, he just turned 19 and 7 months. Like, that's
wow.
Like, he's
go.
Like, yeah, he's like, oh, why don't you give me that sandwich over there, you bastard? No, he's like, and I'm a 200-pound guy, and he could pull me over, right?
There you go.
I'm only 4'3", but still. No.
Well, you got Clifford over there.
Actually, I read for Clifford. I didn't get it.
No, that's all right. You're not missing much.
Thank you.
and that's the next question I was going to ask you. Also, is there a particular character or role that you especially take more meaningful? I mean, more impact to you? Something that, like, you know, like, it. No matter where you go, it just sticks to you.
I think all of them, and even because I don't know if I told you guys, I've ADR'd in tons of movies and films. So I've replaced like. So over 600 celebrities, right?
Wow.
So yeah, there's stuff even Arnold, you know, sometimes they'll call and we need Arnold replaced and you have to go and do it and it's fine. And yeah, so, and you know, and every one of them is amazing. Yeah. Hi, how are you guys? It's nice to be here. Yeah, get to the chopper, you know. It's like, but it's cool. I'm the king of replacements. Even Gambit, I'm a replacement because, you know, Chris Potter was Gambit, and yeah. I played his brother Bobby LeBeau.
Oh, okay.
Now when I first read for Gambit, they go, well, we're gonna Chris to play Gambit because he's a bigger star than you. I'm like, you mother. It was my. It was no X-Men was.
That's the episode where he takes the loot and all that stuff, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But X-Men was my first big show. I had done Little Rosie with Roseanne Barr. I told Tom Arnold, I go, Tom, you're my first like major producer. And he goes, oh, cool. And then he get the hell out of his face. But no, he didn't. He's really nice. And then, so I was doing like, and they go, but don't worry, we'll get you doing like a couple characters an episode. And I go, what does that mean? They go, double the money. I'm like, because they didn't think it was going to last a year. They right. really didn't. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm doing fine. And then when Chris left the show, I took over his Gambit and I played mm-hmm. for like 9 years doing all the Street Fighter versus X-Men and Capcom versus Marvel superheroes and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. You know, I even got to do Wolverine in there and Toad and a bunch of other ones. Thank you, Cortez. It was really cool, you know, just being part of it. And I'm grateful as an actor. I'm grateful because, you know, like one of the very first so I was showing you the guitar from Rick.
Right.
Rick's brother, Russell, who passed years ago, was mm-hmm. my best buddy from school. We were in high school together and we had a play. It's a small theater company. And I'd been working at the television station and they go, man, we could really use something to talk backstage and front stage to the director and the lighting people. And so I went in one day and there were a bunch of those headsets with the mics. I still have them, by the way. They were in the garbage. Yeah, they were kind of in this like garbage thing. And I go, what's happening to these, Mikey? And he goes, oh, we're just tossing them. They're horrible. And I'm like, he goes, you want them? I go, sure. He goes, see if you can fix them. So I took them home and I rewired them.
There you go.
And then I did a lot of money. So I went to a little, there was a radio repair guy in the city. And he goes, there was a couple of receivers that I told him what I was doing. He goes, have you got 10 bucks? I go, no, I got 5. He goes, all right, take them both. He goes, use one to send the mic and the other one to here. Right. And that's what I did. So I wired it all up and they were able to talk to each other backstage and director and everything.
There you go.
Yeah. So the next one, which was like a year later, he says, all right, so we got another play coming up and you're going to be in it. And I go, oh, okay, I got my headsets and everything. He goes, no, I'm renting gear. You're going to be in the play. You're going to be an actor. And that was
Let's do this.
So you also came out on Sailor Moon as well, right?
Dude, I did 290 minimum voices.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. In fact, there's a kid out of Australia, Corzine Moon. He went and looked up almost, he found 290, and I think there was more, but we couldn't. There was some I'd listen to and go, I don't know if it's me. Sorry, I don't know if it's me, but it could be. It could be. And that was really cool. Yeah. But my main guy on there first was Jedite and then the Wise Man. And then there was an episode called Much Ado About Babysitting where I played Baby Jordan. So I was the baby and I was the kind of Bruce Willis voice as well. So the baby, right. this is true. For the whole show, I was like, and, right, doing that stuff, then going, hey, you big dummy, get me a bottle of milk, you know, stuff like that.
Got a lot of fans jumping on. I got Sean Mecca here. He goes, oh my gosh, okay.
Hello, Petit. Nice to see you. Actually, Petit is my favorite. Don't say anything. So is Lenore. But, but Allison Court and I became really close. And not from the X-Men. This was later on. We became even closer. And I just love her. She's just such a good person. And yeah. Lenore walks on water. And I just saw Catherine Disher and Allison Seeley-Smith and Lenore about a weekend ago, and they're just such beautiful people. You know, I've been lucky. Like most of the people I work with, Lawrence Bain, we tease the crap out of each other. I mean, we're actually to the point of evil, you know. And then some of the guys we lost, like Norm. Oh man, Norm Spencer played Cyclops.
Wow,
I love Norm a lot, and it was funny because I was working at a network. And they go, oh, well, you know, you've been here in a year and a half. We're going to get a new voice. And it ended up being Norm. And Norm says, hey, man, did you like working with those guys? I go, yeah, they're kind of out there, but it was fun. He goes, well, they gave me hell because I couldn't say the word Stegosaurus. I go, Stegosaurus? He goes, son of a bitch. And then, as time went by, like I was ahead of the game. I was actually recording. One time I was in LA and I had a little phone. I had a little Samsung phone, I guess it was Samsung or Motorola. And I plugged in my computer and they go, we need a voice right now. And I'm driving 56K, by the way. I'm driving along. I record the thing. And as I'm driving, I'm uploading, you know. And by the time I got from one end of the city to the other, I had uploaded.
There you go.
One little tiny file.
There you go.
So I was like one of the first guys to ever record on the road, you know.
Well, there you go.
Lot, yeah.
That's crazy.
I did the Olympics from an Uber.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, they were 13 hours ahead, and they called and they go, oh my God, this guy got hurt, and there's all these changes, and we need these right now. And I go, okay, where are you? I was with one of my musical partners. We were opening for the 10,000 Maniacs. You know.
Oh right. Wow, there you go.
Yeah,
you
we go. Played with the Goo Goo Dolls. I played with everybody.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, when we got to load in, I ran downstairs, recorded something, ran upstairs, did load in, ran downstairs, ran upstairs, did sound check, ran downstairs, did more voiceover, ran back upstairs, played on stage, ran back downstairs.
It was right.
So I hired an Uber guy to sit out front for the whole time.
There you go.
And then I didn't even need to because my friend showed up with his car and I just did it in his car.
That is a good question that was just set up right now.
We got a question here from Sean Mecca. Here we go, Mr. Daniels. He goes, how does one get into voice acting?
Well, Sean, what you have to do is I actually cheated a little bit. No, I mean, it depends where you're located. But first thing you want to do is, which I've been lucky with, is I started as an improver. And on, you know, stage acting and improvising. So you want to get a background in that because voice is more about acting than it is about just having a voice. Because I mean, I'm going to do a ton of voices, but if you can't do the act, you're going to fail fairly fast. So you want to get into a couple classes if you don't have it in you already. So I would suggest taking a couple of improv. I'm a Second City guy and a theater sports guy and a couple of other improv classes, and that also helps with writing. And so a lot of the shows I've been on, I've been able to look at a script and go, that's funny, but I can make it funnier.
And there you go. You see, yeah. Sean, you see, we can make it happen.
Yeah. But what you do is, so you get, you know, get a couple of classes in, and then, you know, save up for your gear. So you're going to need a decent mic, you know, headphones, exactly. An interface. And that'll pretty well do it. And then you need a nice computer, either a Mac or a PC. And I moved over to Mac. Yeah. Don't you start Q. And and then, you know, and I can, if you want, I can connect you guys with my guy at Sweetwater, which is like the biggest distributor of musical instrumentation and mics awesome. And everything. And they're great. If you just say, you know, Tony Daniels, they'll give you my discount. And, like, seriously, I've been helping a lot of folks out. My buddy, awesome. Yeah, my buddy Judd Goldrich. Yeah, he's the best. Yeah. You guys have SM7s sitting right in front of you. So if one blows out, you call me.
10% for your manager. Oh
my gosh. No, but you know, everybody can do it. You just have to apply. A lot of people go, well, I can do it. I've got a great voices. Then you get them to read a script and they go, that's like, no. It's not just being able to move your mouth and sound cool. Yeah. You got to have the acting chops. And I think that's where it is. And if you can get into a local theater group, mm-hmm. it'll go a long, long way. And I just actually, before I came on with you guys, I was with a young actor friend who I met through, like, Dominic has a group of older gentlemen and ladies that play music on weekends at a little market just on the Upper East Side of New York. Mm-hmm. And I'll go over there and we'll play. And it was a young kid that joined us. He just lives around the corner and he's a school teacher right now, but he wants to be an actor. So I'm helping him out. And that's one of the things. So I've got him, he's going to sign up tomorrow for a friend of mine's acting class.
That's awesome.
And then I told him, I said, you need to take an improv class. And there used to be Upright Citizens Brigade here in the South. You know, you have your groundlings and stuff. And if you learn, that's where most of the people that are really hot right now study with the groundlings, you know, and if you can do improv. Right. So like I said, with my friend Colin Mockery and a bunch of the guys on Whose Line Is It? That's where they cut their teeth. And I was able to, the commercial side of it was great because I was able to go in and work on hundreds upon thousands of commercials. And the reason being, because I could do the voices and I could also improv and rewrite some of the lines in respect to the writer, but also to support the writer. So there was a show I was on that the writer did not like my improving because there was like, I wrote this, this is mine, you know? I'm like, okay, I'm just offering it. I read it the normal way. And then I read it funnier.
There you go. I made it better.
That was awesome.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it's all about. I mean, you see something on paper, you try to create it and make it your own. That's what kind of singles you out from everybody else. And that's what's the cool part.
Makes you stand out more.
Yeah. It makes you stand out.
I stood out with Monica that time.
A big shout out to Buzz Bull Creamery.
Oh, man.
One of our sponsors. You guys, if you're looking for infused ice cream with liquor in it, you might want to give them.
You saw that face. You just
tequila ice cream.
Yeah, pretty much. If you had a chance, come down to South Boulevard here in Westaco, Texas. Look them up. Let them know Chewy News sent you, and they'll hook you right up, man. Talk to Viti. Real nice, great customer service. And
great ice cream.
Yeah. Great atmosphere, man. Awesome liquor. With good old liquor.
I could see Q dipping his beard in the liquid nitrogen.
He does. He does.
I bet I do.
That's why we're no longer invited. But they're sponsors. So on your time off, Mr. Daniels, what do you like to do? I mean,
is there hold it.
Okay.
What is time off?
Well, you never have time. Free time.
There you go.
Free time. Free time. He corrected you, sir.
It's rare. I'm not kidding. It's very rare. It's so hard. Like, it's cool if my wife likes to travel up to Boston.
There you go.
I love Boston, man. We have a lot of Italian friends there. I don't want to explain that one. I love y'all, Texas, man. I love Texas. Seriously, I miss Texas. I'm coming soon. Yay.
Yeah.
Texas is amazing. So I like to go in places. And one of my best buddies, he just moved to Florida, opened a new restaurant. You guys got to check it out. It's so cool. Yeah, it's called Alexander's, and it's close to St. Augustine. And so I'm trying to get down to see him. And the next time I go, I want to take Dominic Chianese with me because we'll go down, we'll play music live and stuff. But I don't get a lot of time off. Ever since I'm a kid, I've been on one vacation, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
to Mexico.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
And then one time to England, but that was for work, so it doesn't count.
Okay. Yeah, well, here in Mexico, it's just a hop and a skip.
Yeah, it's just a minute away.
It's just a minute away.
My luck, I'll get stuck. How long you been out of the country, sir?
Just a couple of days, you know.
Wait a minute, where are you from?
I'm from the Bronx.
What's going on with the burro here, sir? Why are you bringing this crossing over the bigger that
hey, don't worry about it, man.
I crossed over with the Bronco and I'm coming back with the burro.
Hey, burro, and don't worry about it, man. I don't have 17 of my family members in Detroit.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be my luck. Well,
we put a lot of people in there.
Oh yeah. We can.
No,
bring an idea, we'll come back to tell you.
It's crazy because maybe I should say a few more times. I went to Tijuana quite a bit of I was living in California. And it was great because I just love it there. And except for the one time this guy goes, "Sir, would you like a picture with the donkey?" And I go, "No, I'm fine." He goes, "Sir, would you like a picture with the donkey?" And I go, I said, "No." And he goes, "Maricón." And I go, "What?" And I go, "Dude, do I look like an idiot? I know what it means." He goes, "Oh, okay. Yeah, don't worry about the donkey."
Don't worry about the donkey.
He was actually funny because he just thought I was some asshole tourist. But, but I got a great pair of boots while I was there.
Botas. There you go.
I got the best botas in the whole city.
Here's a question for you.
I'm married.
Question number two.
So much for that.
You see, do you mess it up? I'm pretty sure you go out to eat, or if you order over the phone, do you ever throw your voices out there in any of your? I mean, just to mess
just
with
for
them
the hell
bit,
of it.
Just for the hell of it.
I've done it.
I knew it.
All right, this one's really bad. I'm gonna get in trouble because I better change the accent because I'll get in trouble because people can't, you know, you're not doing it to be mean. I just do accents. So right. One time I'm going through a McDonald's drive-thru.
Oh, here we go.
This is like a long time ago. We get up to the thing and I go, we'd like to order some McDonald's. It wasn't that accent. It was much more obtuse.
Yeah, I got you.
It's like, yeah, two picking Macs and then the Coca-Cola and all this, right? And I get up and they go, "All right, that'll be $22.50. That's how long ago it was. It was like in the 70s. And I go,
"There you go.
Oh, great, great, great. And they go, "Where's the German guy?" I go, "What German guy?" I was talking to a German guy and I go, "Oh, but I did notice that your thing, the board there with the thing, it said made in Germany."
I figured talking like that, you would
make it. And I've gone to parties and just like, I've gone to parties and put on British accents for the whole night. And then, but the best was speaking of South African again, we were doing the Olympics. And I worked, I two great sand engineers, both were South African, Brett and my friend Leonard Fisher. And we're doing the thing, right? The whole summer, I'm like,
I go
in the studio, and we're talking South African. Even my friend Damien came in, we're talking South African. and end of the Olympics, this guy, Rob Viola, who ran the dart system, which is, the slow-mo capture thing that does a great replay.
Yeah. Right.
So he goes, "Hey, Tony, it was really nice to meet you." And I go, "Oh, great to meet you too, Rob." He goes, "You're not South African?" I go, "No." I realized the whole summer I talked to him with a South African accent.
Wow. Well, you didn't break character. That's a very good thing.
Crazy.
Oh my gosh. I mean, and then also, I know you've gone to a couple of Comic Cons and you've gone to sign autographs and all that good stuff. When you go out with the celebrities that are there with you or partners of yours that were part of the series, would you all talk in character when the waiters would come around?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was out with Mr. McFeely, David. What's David's last name? I always forget. It's so bad. I shouldn't be doing that because I just call him Mr. McFeely from the Fred Rogers show. You know, he played the mailman, Kevin Clash, who played Elmo, and Guy Gilchrist, who's an artist. and just a couple folks, but me, Kevin, and Mr. McFeely would order, and then he'd be like,
"Yeah."
And here's this big, huge black dude ordering food with an Elmo voice because it's really him, right? So...
Wow, dude. That is crazy. That is crazy. I'm pretty sure the waiter or the waitress are pretty much freaked out, like,
what is going on?
Yeah. What is going on here?
And again, you're not doing it to hurt people. You do it because you just love to be part of this magical thing that, you know, if you have that kind of talent, you can do it. It just feels fun.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, so many voices that you've done through the years. I know everybody that, well, when you were announced to come down to South Texas Comic-Con, a lot of people were going crazy.
I know. But
I mean, and it's understandable. You have work and it just happens.
I had to dump out on one a couple months ago because I had a movie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it happens a lot, you know, because the scheduling is just brutal. And again, flights, like, there's a comic book store in Michigan, which I really wanted to go because I have family there.
Mm-hmm.
And these people were really lovely. And the day I left, I sat in the airport from, I'm going to say 7 a.m. till 9 p.m.
Right.
And because of the weather, never right. got out. So we had to reschedule, and finally reschedule. I went, and it was great. And we had a good time, and we had a lot of people show up. So, you know, I apologize to the fans for that because it's out of our control.
Totally understanding, you know, and we
it happens.
It happens. And we hope, we look forward to see you next year. If you have a chance to come
down here,
that'd be great, man.
I'm going to be in Dallas soon.
Oh, okay, Dallas and Lubbock. Don't forget.
And Lubbock. You guys are driving distance from me either. So
it's a drive.
It's a drive.
It's a pretty long drive.
It's a pretty long drive.
Don't wimp out on me, you two sons of bitches.
Another question. I know I had a buddy of mine who wanted me to ask you a question. Have you seen, or what are your thoughts of the new X-Men 97?
Oh, sorry, my earphones are out. No, it's good. It's really good. I would have preferred. I would have preferred Rogue being drawn the same way.
Yeah,
because we're missing some of that. That's what I didn't like. And how mm-hmm. could you be younger looking in 97 than you were 95, 94, 95.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm not the only one who said the same thing.
Yeah, but the storylines are great, you know.
Yeah.
Except for, all right, if you guys, I'm hoping
he's gonna say it. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, like
guys, if you guys are watching right now, this might be a spoiler for you.
Spoiler.
So turn off and then come back in 10 minutes.
No, you're joking. A couple of guys get killed. That's it.
And,
and I know one of them intimately.
I have a question from Lalo here. He goes, how many more years do you want to continue voice acting?
Until I'm 104, Lalo. Now, you're not stopping me, you little son of a gooker. I'll smash you right in your nose. I'll put a cucumber in your eye and blind you.
Now, Lalo, I'm gonna do it until I can't. I've got man, one of my favorite friends, he died in, oh God, early 2000s, Len Carlson. He was the voice of Ho, 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 Green Giant.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
He was one of the greatest voice actors. You can look him up, Len Carlson. Mm-hmm. And he said if we were going to actually open a voiceover school together, but we didn't have a chance before he passed. But he said, I'll just keep going until I don't breathe. And, you know, because there's something about this that gives, I think it creates a lot of dopamine. You get pleasure in your brain when you're doing it, and especially if it's good. Of course, you'll get the odd weird thing that can happen. Like you might get a director who doesn't see it the same way as you, and you're getting, you're getting earfuls in your ear.
Right.
Maybe in 35 years more. I've only had that maybe a couple of times where somebody, I'm just like, this is not working out. You know, yeah, but for those people, for every one of them, there's been a thousand that have been fantastic as directors and stuff. And then You know, and I'm the kind of guy, like, I have a hardcore work ethic, as you can imagine. So I'm always, like, to sessions and stuff, I'm always early. I find young actors show up late a lot and stuff, so I've never done it. I've only been late for two jobs in my whole life, which is a lot, in 40 years.
Wow, very punctual. Wow. Punctual, that's good.
Well, and the only reason I was late was the first one was I was in doing a Coca-Cola commercial.
Good excuses.
And I used to like him till the accident. Anyway, once you finish the commercial, you have to wait for the client to approve and then you can leave.
Right. So,
but they only get a couple of hours and then they're into overtime. Now we're into an hour overtime. I'm like, guys, cool. I have another two more sessions. I got to go, you know, and they're right. I'm like an hour and a half late to the next session. Which technically I was like 45 minutes late to that session. They were like a little pissed, but I'm like, dude, it's not my fault, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we were done like, I was supposed to be there 2 hours. I was done like 10 minutes. It was so good, you know. Mm-hmm. So with the good and the bad. And then the only other time was I had a lady friend, Deborah. She, who's a great director I worked with. And I'm usually like always a half hour early if I can be, and like 99%. Anyway, so this one day, my agent calls, says, "You have a gig at 3:50." I go, 3:50?
Why
3:50? Nobody does a gig at 3:50. You mean 3:15? And she goes, "No, 3:50." I go, "You're sure?" She goes, "Yeah, I called them again, made sure." Because it's usually on every 15 minutes they'll clock.
Oh, right.
So it's at 4 o'clock, 4:50.
Right, no, right.
3:50. I go, "You're sure?" "Yeah, 100%. So I'm there at 20 after three. And she comes out. "Where is that asshole? Where is he? Blah, blah, blah." She's screaming. And I go, "I wonder what she's waiting for." She goes, "There you are. Where the hell were you?" And I go, look what my day timer says. 3:50. "What are you, deaf? It's 3:15. I go, "Hang on." I go, "My agent called four times to your scheduler. It's 3:50. So she called her. She goes, "Yeah, 3:50. So she called me back and she goes, "I'm sorry I lost my temper with you." And we had a great session. Then I had another, I won't say her name, but great director. And she's like, "I wasn't late, but it's the opposite. I had this audition." And then she says, no, "I want actors, not voice actors." And I go, "Well, technically I'm an actor. I'm not really, I don't like to call myself a voice actor."
Right.
They made up that thing. You're an actor who just happens to be amazing at voice. Thank you. Anyway, yeah. So my agent says, "Yeah, no. So we were doing a seminar together. And she said, and she goes, "No, I want stage people. And I want people who are, you know, have a television film background." So I'm on, people are going, "Hey, where'd you start?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's all about the music thing." And then the first thing I ever did was a play. And then I ended up working in television. I had my own television show and blah, blah, blah. And she's looking over and she goes, "Are you serious?" And I go, "Yeah." She goes, "Oh." And I go, "Oh, about that job. Yeah." She goes, "Yeah." So 2 weeks later, I get a call in the studio and it was for, I think it might have been for Babar for the movie.
Oh, okay.
I go in there. It might not have been. It might have been another show, but it might have been Babar. Anyway, and it was my call time was 5 o'clock or 5:30. I'm there at 5:30, 6:30.
Oh,
7. They only have the studio until 7:30. I've got 30 some odd lines.
Wow. All
right. And because the young lady that was in before me, she took nearly 2 hours to do 10 lines. It just wasn't happening. So we get in. She goes, "We're really late. We only have the studio for a half hour, then it closes." She goes, "I gotta tell you, if there's anybody I want to be with on a Friday night and I've only got half hour to do 10 times as many lines, it's you." And it was great. And we cemented our friendship again. And she's like, "I'm really sorry that other thing happened." I go, "It's the business, you know."
Right.
It's the business. Yeah. So yeah, as if you want to do stuff like Lalo was asking about boys, and so was who else was Sean. So if you want to, you know, just have a good work ethic behind you, and you know, try not to, you know, you don't want to make enemies in this business, but you know that you will.
Yeah.
But you know, and there's a lot of jealousy and stuff because you know, it's like I said on a set of Assault on Precinct 13, I was hanging out with Dorian and was hanging out with Fish. And then you know, there John Leguizamo was there, and a bunch of really cool people, Ethan Hawke, and then, you know, my buddy Kim Coates. And when they can hear you, you do all these things and you can imitate like everybody,
right?
You get a really cool respect, and that's a cool thing. So, you know, work on, if you're up and coming, you want to work on your scripts and your improv and stuff. And then also, if you want to do more voice, then you work on your different voices. And if you just want to be a straight reader, like a book, you know, audiobook stuff, work on that and just like hone that in. You know, I'm the guy that does everything, and I'm telling the opposite now, is to try and hone in, because the world has shifted, you know.
Right. I got Lalo again, but here you go. Is there any roles that you auditioned for that you ended up not getting, and they became big roles for someone else?
Well, originally Gambit, right? Which Chris Potter was, but then I ended up getting After, which was, I'm more than grateful as an actor. You know, we all praise, you know, we got the Oscars and the Emmys and stuff. I'm a member of the Emmys, and it's great and everything for the actors to win stuff. But truthfully, it's the people that put the money together to make these films and TV shows and stuff. Yeah. They're the real heroes, because that's hard to do. I couldn't raise that kind of money. But Lalo, just that one is like pretty cool. I can't think of anything that was like really huge that I go, you know, I would have liked that. I never think in terms of that. It's like, you know, you're right for the project, or, you know, or somebody else is more right. Or
Right. Yeah. As far as your fans, has any of them come up to you and let them know that your roles in, well, anything you've come out on has affected their lives in a certain way? Like, you know, it was like something important in their lives that they kept to heart?
Yeah, like a lot of the X-Men fans, thank you. Because, you know, like I said, I share the character with Potter and now with AJ LoCascio. And you just, you touch their lives. As, like I said, my friend's little kid with the Rescue Heroes character, Helicopter. And then, you know, Daniel Tiger's neighborhood. I see kids in the elevator here when the building I'm living in here in New York. And, you're just like, you know, they see a little kid and they watch the show. And Chelsea Clinton's daughter and sons, or she has three kids. And we were at an Emmy thing, and I ran into them. One of my managers says, hey, you have kids, right, Chelsea? She's like, yeah. She goes, Tony's the guy that voices X the Owl from Daniel Tiger. She goes, no way. And she gave me a big hug, and she goes, I said, you want me to do a little shout out for your kids? And I think they're Jasper and two other names anyway. So I go, this is X the Owl, Tony Daniels, and I just want to give a big shout out to y'all. And it was like, it went over like gangbusters for her. You know, it's got nothing to do with politics and everything else, because I'm not a big politic fan, you know. Because America, listen, you know, when America, if America doesn't survive, places like Canada and the UK and Germany, and forget it, y'all are gonna be gone. So, you know, America needs to survive as America, not a split country, because that's horrible. And it's funny, because we see that in the X-Men. That's what the whole idea about the X-Men is, to bring people together. You know, mutants are mutants, but, you know, they're people too.
Yeah, you know? I hear you.
Except for Beast, he's a beast.
I mean, well, God, you pretty much answered all the last question I was going to ask. But anything for the fans you would like to say, a personal note for them that you want to leave behind there? I mean, something you want, word of advice for future voice actors that are coming up in the industry?
Love what you do. Be a little tolerant, because you have to. It's part of the world. Tony Pastor and I used to say, you know, to be a successful in this business, you have to have the heart of a liberal and the business acumen of a conservative, so that, you know, because it's a business. But you got to be a good actor, you have to let the emotions in. And I think just be a good person and, you know, try and make people laugh every day if you can.
Yeah,
because it makes you a better person, you know. And what's the other thing? Don't touch the brown acid. Wait a minute, that's from Woodstock. Forget it.
Wait a minute. Oh my gosh, man.
No, I do acid every day, but it's citric. Pass you some orange juice, honey.
Make sure you add extra cubes.
He's sitting right beside you. Oh, Q.
Oh, hey, go on, take that as a compliment. I mean, is there any quizzes you want to ask him? Yeah. Because these are just,
I don't know.
I'm at all.
Come on, your name is Quiz. You got to quiz me.
Yeah, come on, Quiz.
Well, like, you've already, like, answered what I was going to ask, because I am
so any roles I ever hated?
Any roles you ever hated? I was about to ask you my question.
Jeez. Any roles that you ever hated? Oh, my goodness. This one's now, you know.
Uh-oh, are you allowed to even say something like that?
No, there's nothing I ever hated. Everything. From the smallest, from going in and doing one line to doing 100,000 lines, it doesn't matter. One of the things I do love, though, still is I have a friend, Dan Fink, here, and a really good friend, too, as well, Fabiana Arizia. Arastia, that's, I was out there shopping the other day, Arastia. Arastia, they casted, and Sue and a couple of other folks that we deal with on the casting of ADR. So ADR looping, which I love doing. So I've looped for a lot of people. In fact, on, I think I can tell you, for Mayor of Kingstown with Stallone, I was in there one day and they go, we're missing a line from the slide. So I go, well, let's just do it, you know. So we do it, and there's been some good ones. Like I got to do like over 30 lines for Christoph Waltz in Tulip Fever.
Wow,
with a German accent, yeah. And then, you know, like some of those are cool. I had to replace one of the hardest ones I've ever had to do was Kevin Dillon, because he hasn't really got a voice. I mean, those guys have a bit of a New York-y thing going on, but they don't really have like distinct voices, like, you know, Schwarzenegger and, you know, Pacino and those guys. But those are the hard ones to do. And, you know, there's a lot of good guys out there, like, what's his name? The kid, Matt Friend, is that his name? He's doing a ton of voices, does great voices. And so, you know, but when you're doing it for a film and stuff, that's really super rewarding. And some of the really cool ones are like, when you get to go in for like 11 minutes, you get paid for the whole day because they've got you in doing one specific voice and they don't want to blow your voice out. So you just go in and do that. I mean, even on the movie Naiad that's out right now, it's really cool with Jodie Foster and Annette Bening, who, by the way, just phenomenal actors. I mean, I look at these people and go, this is real acting. Like Ed Harris. I love Ed Harris. You know, I mean, Jodie Foster is a big star and so is Annette Bening, but these are roles where you don't even think about them as their people. And that's where they separate the star from the act. And I love that kind of stuff. And doing the ADR is pretty cool because, you know, you get to play other people's stuff and interpreting their interpretation of what the character is doing. That's even harder. So, Yeah. When we did Sailor Moon, talk about sort of interpretation, you have to take what's on the screen, which is in Japanese basically. Right. And
that's what I was about to ask you, like when it comes to like cartoons, when it comes to video games as well, like how does that process go?
Video games are a little different. I love video games because you're very rarely doing pickups. But video games are cool. Like I did a video game out a couple of years ago called The Maze. I don't know if you guys seen that. Look it up.
The Maze.
And I'm playing Russian Bear, Vladdy. So shut your stupid ugly face. Anyway, and I got a call from my agent that day after we finished. And I had learned a bunch of the Russian stuff. I already kind of knew it from before, but I had to relearn some of the stuff. And my agent calls, and when she 911s me, I'm like, oh boy, I must have swore in the studio or, you know, picked my nose, I don't know, whatever. So she's like, this has never happened in all these years, 30 years as an agent. I go, what is it? What I do? She goes, they're doubling your pay because you learned the Russian. I'm like, whoa. So I made I made $7. Anyway,
$7.
But it was cool. It's like, yeah. So, you know, I went that extra distance and it really helped. It didn't just pay off, you know, monetarily, but also paid off in my heart because I love doing it. So, yeah. And video games are cool that way because you're reading from a script, you're single. Now to do dubbing, you make way less money and you're working harder because, like, and especially in things like Sailor Moon, we see, do this system called Rhythmo Band. Now, I've done every kind of side and swipe. You know, like I do a Chinese kung fu movie one time when I'm early in my career, and I get in there, and you know, it's like, hey, you, stilted, you want to fight me? I'll kill you. You know, so. You guys have seen The Get Down, right?
Yes.
Okay, you know this voice. You ready? They actually wrote this for me. It's like, you're watching Shaolin Fantastic.
There you go. Guys, right? If you're listening to this on Spotify, you need to jump on YouTube to see this.
It's a great show, too. All those actors were amazing. And they had actually written a part for me to do that thing. Shaolin Fantastic, you know, and I was doing the Kung Fu movie guy. But right, this first Kung Fu movie I ever did, like, it was, like, really long. And, you know, we got 4.5 hours booked for the movie to finish the ADR. And I was there and it was going really well. And then they go, now we got a 25-minute fight scene. I'm like, oh, God, because a lot of times you'll have to watch the thing and then redo it. It takes hours. So 25 minutes. I'm not going to watch a 20. What happens? I die. You die. I die. Yeah. OK, great. Roll it. I'll chase it. And it went. I went. Oh, you know, we did the whole 25-minute fight scene at the end. I die. And they go, holy crap, one take. That was amazing. I'm like,
that's amazing.
It's like I died. Whatever. But it was fun. But those are the kind of things I like, especially with the ADR and stuff, getting to do some really cool, funky stuff. Like, I was just telling Jody Hill from we were at the Righteous Gemstones a couple of weeks ago for an FYC, and I saw Jody and remembered me from Ballad of the Whitetail Deer Hunter. And at the opening, he goes, so I need this voice. It's because Josh Brolin's playing it's a spoof of a hunting show. Right. And he goes, it's this voice on Sportsman or Outdoor Channel, and the guy's like American Marksman. I go, you mean American Marksman? He goes, that's the guy. I go, that's me. And they go, holy crap, you're the guy. You know, so it's great. So we did like one take or something, and I was only there for like a half hour. It was really cool. I got to work on a movie called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. Have you guys seen that? It's really cool. Mm-hmm. It's about this was a black woman from the 50s whose cancer cells are what all cancer cells are judged upon. So they're and so I went in, and the director George Wolf, real tough guy, tough Broadway director, my producer director, casting director, says, when you go in there, don't talk to the guy, don't say nothing, he doesn't want to know you. I'm like, okay, you know, I've got a big mouth, but this is cool. So I get in there, I knew the sound engineer, so we said hi. I went in, and he goes, all right, do your thing. So I do it, he goes, that's pretty good. Try it like this. So I do it. He goes, try one more. You're amazing. Thank you. And I'm like, okay, thanks. So I leave. Then I get a call from my casting director. Get back there. What? Hurry, get back. So I go, oh shit. I must have screwed up, right? So I get back and he goes, I was impressed with you. Can we do another voice for something else? And I go, sure. So it was really cool, you know? And then I got to tell him, I go, oh, yeah. I said that. And then I said, I was really connected to this project because my boy, Billy, he's a research scientist down in San Diego. He's got Henrietta Lacks's cancer in his leg. He dropped a petri dish and the cancer cut the skin and went right in his leg. And you can't catch someone else's cancer because cancer is strictly to your DNA.
Right.
But it just grows and shrinks in his leg all the time. It's a freaking weird story. I'm going to write a movie about it.
Wow. That's awesome. Oh, Mr. Daniels, we are coming upon an hour and 3 minutes. What? I mean, it's very rare when what the heck is this guy texting me here, man? Get out of here. It's very rare when they're texting me on my phone and on the computer. It's very rare when we have interviews go this long because most of the time it's like, all right, we only do about an hour and then we talk afterwards. But this is amazing.
This is Tony Daniels.
This is Tony Daniels here, man.
Tony freaking Daniels.
Well, at least you guys didn't do this. It's happened.
Has there been a podcast where people fall asleep on the mic? That's a good question.
No. But this is a good one. I enjoyed this one because you guys just let me go. And so, you know, a lot of guys want to get in there and get their question, which, but I always cut them off.
No, then that's what our podcast is about. You do you.
You do the whole show. You good? We'll just be real.
You know what? Just go ahead. Talk.
No, I do have a good one for you. So I was working. We were working on the a remake for Night of the Living Dead, and the director. Ooh. Yeah, the director Marcus, my buddy Steve. He got us on a podcast it does really well. It's a Halloween podcast. It's really cool. And the kid's really nice that runs it. Anyway, so you guys are going to love this one. So we got Marcus. Marcus doesn't know I'm on. And David Howard Thornton, who plays Art the Clown from Terrifier, he's on there too. And now David knows I'm on there. So he's trying to hold back from laughing. And I had all these sound effects and music ready. So they're going, hey, Marcus, we're about to start. Just so you know, we're also broadcasting, simulcast broadcasting tonight in Germany live. So please don't be thrown off. And he goes, what? Just go with it because, you know, it's part of our production deal. And he goes, okay. So they're going, hi, you're with the Halloween podcast. Our guest tonight is director Marcus Slaybein. And then you hear, dun, 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 dun. It's like, hi, how are you? This is Klaus Miller. And we've got a director, Marcus Slaybein. He is on the guest. And so we're going to go ahead. American counterpart, go ahead. And he's like, okay, so Marcus, what was like, and it's like, so Marcus, my first question is, what's it like when you write a movie like this? And he's like, huh, what? And he's freaking out, right? And I go, and then I found an old German commercial, and they go, oh, that's a fantastic, hang on, I got to go to a commercial in here. And they're playing on, and that was it. And he's like, what the hell's going on? And we're like, chill out, dude. We're broadcasting live in Germany. And the podcast never went to air because the kid hit the wrong button and it didn't save.
Oh my God, no.
What?
So no. We had to redo it and we couldn't. We were laughing so hard at the end of it. We had to give it away. And now he knew who it was, so we couldn't.
Man.
It was
I've had a couple of podcasts like that where it's a great interview, and all of a sudden, they're like, no, it does not just kick me out.
Wow.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Oh, it's tough.
Yes.
Well, thank you for having me.
No, thank you. Thank you for gracing us with your presence,
yes, sir.
On the Chewing a Podcast, man. I mean, I hope we can do this again later in the future, so
There we go. I got to get that done. I got you and Q. And Chew was.
Yeah, don't worry about Chew. You dodged a bullet on that one.
He got chewed up. And I love that you also have a picture of Q behind him.
Yeah. Beautiful. I guess. No, Mr. Daniels, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really do appreciate. Tell Becky, thank you also.
Thank you. Thank you, South Texas. I love you.
Yeah, guys.
Hopefully you come down.
Yes, I will.
We'll be waiting for you to come down, and it's gonna.
Well, it was all that tequila I had earlier. I'll be coming down in about 20 minutes.
Oh, when you do come down, I got tequila in the studio for you.
No. What do you got? Anything good? No.
Oh, we
got some good stuff.
We got some really? Stuff.
Oh, yeah, you guys are on the border. Look at me. I'm in New York. What do we get? You know, they go, hey, man, we've got Patron. I go, Patron? I use that to degrease my motorcycle.
So we got some good.
No offense, Patron. I love you.
Great. Now we lost that sponsor.
All right. Bye. Edit that out, man. Hey, Uncle Tito's.
Where are those brown cubes you're talking about?
Those brown, what were we saying? Those brown things you're talking about?
My English no good.
Mr. Daniels, thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming on.
Very much.
Continue doing what you're
doing. We'll
do
it again sometime.
Yeah. Never don't change, man. You're amazing. Great personality.
You're right. I better change this.
Well, shallow wise, that's optional. But
never. I'm like, I've got there you go. You guys want to know one of my foibles. I've been good lately, but I used to like shower like 4 to 7 times a day. I'm not kidding you. I just can't stand. Wow.
That's good. Know. That's
well,
good,
especially because you would be in a studio. I'll tell you one little quick anecdote. I was in a studio in a Sailor Moon thing, and it was one of the the coolest actors. They're all really good actors, but this mm-hmm. girl is, she's stunning and she's really lovely and wonderful and everything. And we go for a lunch break. We're back in the studio and this was, the booth was no bigger than my booth here. And uh-huh. then I'm like,
oh,
and she's like, are you okay? And I go, did you have Caesar salad for lunch? She goes, yeah. I go, oh my God, garlic overload. It was, and she's like, no. Oh, and then she realized, oh my God, yeah. She's like, oh, what are we going to do? And I go, I think they got gum or something out there. Don't worry. I'm like, she leaves the booth. I'm like, get fans in here. It's horrible. It's like, you know, if I wasn't dating somebody at the time, she's like the girl of your dreams. And you know, yeah. But it was cute. She got a kick out of it. I always tease her later, go, hi, how are you? How's it going?
You're looking out that porter room like, save me. Save
yeah.
me.
Oh, it was like the door closes, like all of a sudden.
What's
And I'm bad because my wife gets mad at me because like I can, you know, I'll come home and she's like, I go, do you have garlic? She goes, I had a potato chip.
Uh-huh.
And I can eat a case of, you know, I can eat a case of them with the olestra and you know, keel over from cholesterol. But I can eat a case of garlic chips. And she'll be like, you didn't have garlic chips. I go, yeah. I can't smell anything. I go, it's the Spanish blood that gets sucked in. It's that real mix. Hey, we're all from this. We're all from Africa anyway. Come on. Do your 23andMe, people. Do your 23andMe, and you'll find out we're all African.
Love that movie, by the way. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Mr. Daniel. You just hang in tight there. We'll be right back with you, okay? We'll be right back with you.
That's ladies right. And gentlemen. Don't ever cut off Gambit. You could lose an eye. You get a card in your eye.
Dude, cereal.
Nobody can see you.
Thanks, Q, because you're gross.
Come on! Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in today. Great podcast with Mr. Tony Daniels, man. Hope we do it again soon. We also have another episode coming Thursday
with
Brandon Lopez. Local artist. So tune in for that one. The following week after that, we are still working on a guest. Haven't got a call back yet, but the one that everybody's waiting for is May 16th. We have Gary Chalk, who is the voice of also Optimus Prime and Primal. Optimus Prime. So
and one more.
I have done Optimus Prime.
We have him here already, huh?
Never mind, he's here right here. Let's do another episode.
Let's go. You know what? Let's just keep going. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We will see you this Thursday again, 7:30 p.m. And like always, guys, we ready? Hold on. Let me just get this going over here. Hold on.
Hi.
Thank you again to Mr. Tony Nance in the background.
Thank you, Tony.
No, it hurt my bum.
And like always, guys, Gators! Peace out.